This is Mike Dot with the Relax Back UK show on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. On the Relax Back UK show, we explore all kinds of health topics, so keep listening and enjoy the ride. Hi, and thank you for joining me, Mike Dilt, with the Relax Back UK show. This week, the show's made possible by the kind sponsorship of AlgoCells. AlgoCells uses the body's own stem cells' ability to regenerate tissue to treat joint and spine injuries and pain. Check out their website, algocells.com. We start off with a potential big step found in the treatment of spinal cord damage.
If this molecule and the effect that we see in our animal studies translates to humans, this will redefine a whole field of therapy, how to treat nervous system damage.
Paul Brennan is the president and CEO of NerveGen, and they've developed a drug to help repair nerve damage. Now that is amazing enough, but the method involves helping to repair scar damage.
When you have a trauma that occurs, you have these scars form. And then they collect in your brain or your spinal cord forever. They don't go away. But they also happen in chronic disease.
There are many diseases such as Alzheimer's where something like this could potentially help. Then on to something a little closer to home. Well, my home anyway. I'm too fat. Yeah, I've said it. I am too fat and I suffer from high blood pressure. And I have decided now to try and do something about it. Introducing Vlad, my personal trainer, for the next month or so.
And, you know, for the next 4 weeks, we have a program planned up for you, which consists of, you know, some weight training and some cardio and some circuit training. So, you know, hopefully in the process, we're going to keep tracking, you know, every week your weight and how you're doing, how the strength is improving, how your overall fitness is improving. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
It's his giggle at the end that worries me. What really does he have in store for me? Well, keep listening for a fun show. Thank you.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at AlgaCells know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. AlgaCells. Part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. AlgaCells. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I started my chat with Paul Brennan, President and CEO of NerveGen, just by thanking him for taking the time to chat and to come onto the show.
So first of all, Paul, thank you very much indeed for taking a few minutes to chat today.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Good, right. I'm looking forward to it. Now, very excitingly, you guys have developed a drug, and I had a sneaky peek at your website, and emblazoned across it says, enabling the nervous system to repair itself and helping with things like spinal cord injury and stuff like that. And this sounds fantastic. So the first question has to be, what is it that you've developed and, you know, where was it developed?
So, yeah, we've developed a really interesting pharmaceutical drug that we think helps the nervous system to repair itself, as you mentioned. So I'll answer the question first, where was it developed? It comes from the work of a Dr. Jerry Silver at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio. And his work, it's actually 30 years of his work that's come to the development of our drug. Jerry was initially interested in learning, why is it that nerves grow where they grow when we're developing? And how do they know where where not to grow? So how is it when the spine's growing in the fetus, how does it know not to veer left or right? And he postulated that there were negative guidance factors, things in the developing fetus that were turning the neurons away. And he identified a class of molecules that were present in the brain that nobody thought were present in the brain at the time. These molecules are called CSPGs, or the long form chondroitin sulfate proteoglycans. I won't say that again. I'll just
call
them
stick CSPG. With CSPG. Yeah.
That's much easier. So he saw these CSPGs are in the brain.
CSPG says to growing nerves, don't go that way, as exactly. opposed to saying, do come this way.
Exactly. All so right. up until that's actually a really important distinction. Up until that time, everybody thought it was a please come this way. It was a positive attraction and not a negative repelling. So that was his start of his work 30 years ago. And he published and said, hey, these CSPGs are present in the brain, because nobody thought they were present in the brain or in the spinal cord. But he had to turn his work towards something more than developmental science, something that was an applied science. He was losing his grants, frankly. And so he started to look and say, hey, you know what? Are these CSPGs present elsewhere? And he thought, well, maybe they're present in the scars that form when you have an injury. So this goes back to over 100 years. Over 100 years ago, they realized that when you have injury to the nervous system, like a spinal cord injury, you get a scar that forms. And they knew that it was the scar that was stopping the repair. Neurons were getting trapped in the scar. And so Jerry said, maybe these CSPGs are responsible for what's going on in the scar and the inhibition that's occurring. So he looked for the presence of CSPGs in scars, specifically interested originally in spinal cord injury. And lo and behold, these CSPGs are present in the scar that forms in a spinal cord injury. So then he asked the question, okay, well, what happens if you get rid of these, if you digest the CSPGs with an enzyme? Now, you can do that in an experimental model. You can't do that in humans, but you can do it in an experimental model. So he gave rats spinal cord injuries, digested the CSPGs with an enzyme, and lo and behold, all of a sudden, you started to see repair mechanisms kick in. Neurons starting to regenerate into the scar, but also other repair mechanisms like increased plasticity. So plasticity is the ability of the surviving neurons to take on additional function. We all have it. It's the remodeling of the nervous system. And so you can get surviving neurons to take on additional function. When you use chondroitinase, you're getting plasticity and other repair mechanisms. Okay. So what's interesting, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask a very man in the street question. So if the scarring is the thing that is kind of preventing the repair, does that mean that there's an element of bad design there? There's a bit of a flaw in the design.
Yeah, that's great. That's a good question. That was one of my first questions, actually, when I came in, is why, what's the purpose of the scarring? It is bad design. So the scarring is there and important for the first 24 hours of your injury. They contain the injury.
Right.
And make it as small as possible. So when you have a spinal cord injury, if it's a minor injury, it can contain the injury and you don't have any long-term damage because it's only a minor injury. When it's a major injury, they're still trying to contain the damage. And you think about it, evolution, these scars, they never go away. So the design flaw was not to have the scars, but to have them there permanent.
All right.
But I was going to say was when we were evolving, over 100,000 years ago, these, if you had a major injury, you weren't recovering. You were sort of being eaten by the lions. So there was no need for long-term recovery, no need for the scars to go away. So they play an important role acutely. But after that, we've seen when we digest these scars after 24 hours, there's no negative effects.
Okay. So have you said you've been able to do it in experimental animals. Have you been able now to kind of show this in humans?
Well, so that's what we're working on right now. But we knew that the approach, the experimental approach, wouldn't work in humans. And so Dr. Silver had to have two more major developments to get us to a pharmaceutical.
Okay.
The first was after identifying that CSPGs were the problem. And by the way, CSPGs are present anytime you have damage to the nervous system. So it's not just spinal cord injury. You see it in stroke. You see it in concussion. You see it in chronic diseases, neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and multiple sclerosis. Okay. So it's a general response to damage to the nervous system. So Dr. Silver's next discovery was to identify one of the receptors by which the scars were having their effects on the neurons. So for many, many years, they knew that these CSPGs were inhibiting repair, but they didn't know how. And then in 2009, Dr. Silver presented and discovered that there was a receptor called PTP-sigma. And it was that receptor that was inhibiting the neurons from repairing themselves.
Okay. So next step, you got to do something about PTP-sigma.
Exactly. And that's the third thing. And that's what's resulted in the development of our drug.
Okay.
So what Dr. Silver did was design what's called a peptide mimetic. Dr. Silver and a number of members on grad students, which mimics a part of the receptor and therefore disrupts the receptor's ability to inhibit the neurons from repairing themselves.
Okay, right. Let's go. Just say that again, but a bit more slowly. You introduced this phrase receptor. Now, is the receptor the thing in the nerve that looks out for the CSPG or the PTP sigma? How does that work?
Yeah, so basically receptors are how cells detect the environment around them. And so if a neuron is being stopped by something, it's got to have a receptor that detects that something that stops it. So what we know is the cells in the brain, neurons and other cells in the brain, have this PTP-sigma receptor on them. And when they are in the presence of CSPGs, they interact with the CSPGs to stop the cells from initiating the repair mechanisms.
Okay. So your drug kind of turns that receptor off, that PTP-sigma receptor off, or reduces how effective it is. Is that right?
Yeah, it reduces how effective it is. It doesn't necessarily turn it off. It's a really complex mechanism by the receptor interacts with other receptors. But what we know is that if we mimic a part of that receptor, we can stop the inhibitory effects of the CSPGs.
All right, excellent. So if you say if I damage my spinal column, so then you help me with this drug. Other parts of my body might need to make scars. I mean, it's quite useful making scars. Does it turn it off everywhere?
You're not generally, unless you're in an injury or a chronic disease, you're not making scars. So these neural glial scars are not the same as the scar that you have if you cut your skin, or they're not the same as the fibrotic scars you have in your liver, that causes cirrhosis. So it's a very different type of scar. It's specifically a scar that's in the, that's in the brain. And it's actually, we're not turning off the scar formation. We're just allowing the neurons to ignore the scars.
Right. Oh, okay.
Very different. Yeah.
Okay. this is potentially, well, it's not being a scientist. I'm a scientist by marriage. My wife is a scientist. So I have some experience with some of these terms, but forgive me, just being a little bit slow getting there. All right, let's explore. You mentioned a few already, some of the other issues that this can help with. So it started off looking at, if you have a spinal cord injury from an accident, I'm assuming that sort of thing, you can help people with that. So hope, that their nerves might regenerate so they can get some movement back or some feeling back, that sort of thing. But you mentioned a few other issues and diseases that it can potentially help with. Go through some of those again, because they're massive,
Oh no, this molecule and the effect that we see in our animal studies translates to humans, this will redefine a whole field of therapy, how to treat nervous system damage. But so it's exciting, and we're very excited about it. So when you have damage, I mentioned this at the beginning, whether it's a spinal cord injury or a concussion or a stroke, when you have a trauma that occurs, you have these scars form. And then they collect in your brain or your spinal cord forever. They don't go away. But they also happen in chronic disease. So when you have inflammation in the brain, something like Alzheimer's, everybody's who reads a little bit about Alzheimer's will read about these amyloid beta plaques that occur. And that's really how you diagnose Alzheimer's, is the presence of amyloid beta plaques. Well, the amyloid plaques are surrounded by CSPGs.
Right.
That was published actually over 20 years ago. And very few people realize that. It wasn't picked up generally, but it was published by Dr. Silver. In multiple sclerosis is a disease where the myelin, which is the fatty tissue that surrounds the neurons and protects them and helps them conduct their signals. Multiple sclerosis is a disease where the immune system attacks the myelin. Mm-hmm. And you see, as that happens, you get a buildup of the CSPGs. And that's why the myelin is, as the disease progresses, it's harder to repair the myelin. You have a greater accumulation of the CSPGs. Right. So they're inhibiting nervous system repair wherever they come up. And we believe it's present in Parkinson's disease. In models of Parkinson's, it's ready. We believe it's present in ALS. We're actually in the process of looking for the presence in human tissues of these CSPGs. Anytime that we've looked for CSPGs in a chronic neurodegenerative disease, we've seen them present. And in fact, I'm going to diverge here, as we get older, our brain generally accumulates more CSPGs. That's why it's harder for us to learn new things. This plasticity, the ability of neurons to take on additional function, is inhibited by the CSPGs. So as we get older, we get more CSPGs, we get more inhibition of trying to remodel.
Sure. Goodness, that's interesting. So, never mind all the diseases and Alzheimer's and all the rest of it. You could just stay as sharp as you were in your 20s and 30s by popping a pill.
That's a big speculation. We don't have any data showing that. But, that's one area that this can grow. There has been some studies done in mice, older mice with the chondroitinase, where you digest some of these background CSPGs that are present. Right. And it does appear to look at better ability to form memories and reasoning. But that's a big leap from the really
simple. Let's rein things back in.
Yes, exactly.
Kind of a little more sensible.
Yeah.
But if we're looking, this started off looking at nerve damage, so spinal damage, something like that. If you were, say, treating a patient, would you treat them once with this and it would get rid of the CSPGs, or a few days, or would they be on this stuff for the rest of their life?
No, it's going to be a term of treatment, and we haven't found exactly how long that term would be. But based on the experiments we've done up to now in rodents, my best guess is that we're treating patients for somewhere between someone who's in a trauma, like a spinal cord injury or a stroke, for somewhere between 3 months to 6 months.
Right.
Now, if you have a neurodegenerative disease, we're not curing the disease. So we're not stopping Alzheimer's. We're not stopping multiple sclerosis. What we're doing is helping people recover from the bad effects of those diseases.
Right.
So what you might see in someone with Alzheimer's is a periodic treatment. They might be treated for 3 months or 6 months and then get a break. And then if the disease progresses again, they get retreatment.
Right. Okay.
For these neurodegenerative diseases, really optimum therapy will be combo therapy.
Yeah. And it's just talking to you, it's plain that there is a massive amount of potential here, but also a huge amount of work to do yet. So kind of what's the next stage in the development of all this?
Right. So we are currently in phase one trials in healthy volunteers. So the purpose of these phase one trials is for us to know how well is the drug tolerated, how high a dose can we go, and what are the most common side effects to look for when we go into patient studies. And so that study, that phase one trial, has two components to it, a single dose and then a multiple dose component. We're in the last cohort of the multiple dose. So we're treating healthy subjects for 14 days in a row, once a day. And already we're at a dose that is higher than the highest efficacious dose that we used in our animal studies. So that's really good because we know we have a drug that's well tolerated, that can be tolerated, taken 14 days in a row, and be well tolerated. So the next step for us after we complete our phase one program is to go into patient studies. And currently we're planning to do patient studies in spinal cord injury, in multiple sclerosis, and in Alzheimer's disease.
Okay, so does that's mean that you have you look for volunteers or you find volunteers that have these issues and conduct trials with them?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so they'll be placebo-controlled trials, well designed, and we'll look very carefully for signals of efficacy, functional signals, imaging signals, signals in the blood. We'll do quite a robust study to look for signals of efficacy.
All right, but you know, this is not a morning's work, is it? You know,
No.
We are talking years here, presumably.
Yeah. So not. It's. I guess it depends on your frame of reference. If you're used to developing software, then it might seem like a long time. If you're used to drug development, this can actually go pretty quickly. Okay. So our phase one program, we hope to complete this year. We plan to complete this year. We plan to start our studies in patients at the beginning of next year. And then we would have the initial results in something like spinal cord injury in early 2024, late 23, early 24.
Yeah. All right. So as you say, in terms of software, making software and developing stuff like that, it's years, but actually that's pretty quick for developing a drug potentially.
It is. And the reason why is some of the Alzheimer's drugs that are in development, what they're trying to do is slow progression in the disease. And when you're trying to do that, that disease develops over 10 years. Multiple sclerosis develops over 20 years. So in order to detect a difference in the quality of the patient, if you're slowing development of the disease, you would need to study many, many patients for a year or fewer patients for 5 years. Either way, it's long and expensive. But because we're repairing damage rather than trying to stop progression of the disease, we expect to see much quicker responses and in fewer patients. So that's kind of a nice upside for us.
Yeah. No, I get that. All right. Look, this whole story is absolutely fascinating. You know, I've never heard anything like it. You know, I'm not a medical person, but you know, I have lots of people on this show, and this sounds like one of the more interesting stories that I've heard. You know, this is potentially going to make a massive difference to a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, I would warrant to say that if we can show this works in humans, Dr. Silver deserves a Nobel Prize. I mean, this is Nobel Prize type science, which has flown under the wire. The story of how the company was founded is really quite interesting. It was founded based on a dentist based here in Vancouver, where I'm located, whose daughter-in-law got in a spinal cord injury accident. She became a paraplegic, and Harold was looking for a solution for her and found that there was nothing approved. There are no therapies for spinal cord injury. The stuff that was in the clinic wasn't interesting at the time. And he found Dr. Silver's work and realized that this was really quite different. And not only that he was seeing responses that others weren't seeing, but also it had application outside of spinal cord injury. So the industry is not very interested in spinal cord injury per se, because it's small compared to other spinal cord injuries. So it was really how Dr. Silver flew underneath the wire. Big companies really weren't aware of what he was doing. They weren't trying very hard to get his technology out of the university. Harold, who's on our board, was really motivated. So there's an interesting story here about it took him 2 years to negotiate with the university to bring the technology out. And then what's really interesting is, even though we were motivated by spinal cord injury, this is not a spinal cord injury only technology. This is a broad technology,
yeah,
which potentially has broad applications. So that, when the success story finally gets written from this, it's going to be a really, really interesting story.
Yeah. All right. So look, if people are listening to this, and what two things really, they're thinking, right, I'd like to just find out a little bit more beyond what these guys have been chatting about. And also, you know, where are the published papers? Can I read them? Peer-reviewed published papers. I'm sure they're there. Where can people go for both these things?
Yeah. So first off, nervegen.com is our website, and it's actually quite a lot of information around our technology. There's been a lot of published papers around our technology generally, as well as our technology in different disease models. The first publication around the receptor being present was in Science in 2009. And then the first publication related to our molecule and its ability to repair in spinal cord injury was in Nature in 2015. All those links to those two papers and all the other papers we've published are available on our website. We talk a little bit about our programs. There's a corporate presentation that talks about our timelines. So it's a fairly comprehensive website.
Yeah, excellent. All right, I think that's a perfect answer if people want to find out a little bit more. So, Paul, it remains really to ask you if you will come back in a little while to tell us, you know, how it's going. You know the rest of these trials. I would love to invite you back to get some more news.
Absolutely. Very happy to come back. I love talking about the company. You know, your enthusiasm for what we're doing, everybody at the company has the same enthusiasm. The employees here, our directors, our advisors, you know, something really cool is take a look at who our advisors are in the space of spinal cord injury, MS, and Alzheimer's. And we've been able to attract the world's leaders in the space. These are really busy people. And they get companies inviting them to be on their ad boards all the time. And if you look at who we have, it's a pretty impressive group. It tells you a lot about the excitement and their interest in being on the ground on something that could be revolutionary.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of enthusiasm around here. It's a lot of fun. So I love talking about it and happy to come back anytime.
Good. Right. I shall look forward to inviting you back. But for now, thank you very much indeed, Paul.
Well, thanks very much for having me. I'm looking forward to returning.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer. Part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, right. I am too fat and I've got high blood pressure. I've decided to try and do something about it. Now, I weigh in at 94.1 kilograms. I'm 6 foot tall. I put that into the NHS website and it tells me that I have a BMI, that's body mass index, of 28, which is in the realms of being too fat. It gives a sensible weight of someone my height and age and sex is between 62 and 83.7 kilograms. It then says I should lose 4.7 kilograms. I don't quite understand that, as the difference between my weight and the upper recommended weight is 10.4 kilograms. Either way, I need to lose some weight. Next time you're in a supermarket, pick up a kilogram bag of sugar. Then imagine 10 of them. Now that is what I need to shed. Right, now this is the scary bit. I look like a pretty regular bloke. I go for the odd jog. I don't look that fat, at least with my clothes on. I look pretty normal. But I think that's the point. There are loads of people that look just like me. The scale of the problem is huge. There are many people that are like me and frankly are overweight. I'm more likely to get heart disease, strokes, diabetes, etc. And I have high blood pressure already. So I guess what I'm saying is it must be easy, or it is easy, to pull the wool over your own eyes. My plan is to eat better and do more exercise, and I will report back on how it's going. Right, I have to say, I'm in a place that I find somewhat alien. I'm in a gym. I haven't been in a gym for years, probably when I was less than 18, and I'm 56 now. But I'm going to be in the gym a bit more in the weeks to come, because I have met Vlad, who's a personal trainer, and he has volunteered to be my personal trainer for the next month, poor chap. So, hi, Vlad.
Hi, Mike. Hi, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. I mean, thank you for taking me on. So, tell me, how long have you been a personal trainer, Vlad?
So, I've been a personal trainer for about 7 years now.
And why did you become a personal trainer? What made you kind of think that might be a fun thing to do?
Well, to be honest, Mike, I was always passionate about fitness ever since I was growing up. And, you know, I always looked at my future as to be in the fitness industry. So I guess, you know, step by step, here I am.
Good. Right. So, I mean, you know, you're a fit young man yourself.
Thank you.
Do you help people of all ages, all levels of fitness? You know, you help everyone?
Absolutely. I mean, we have clients aged from 18 all the way up to age 74. Now, obviously, you know, different age, and we all have, you know, different level of fitness. But what we do, as you know yourself, you know, we have an induction before, and, you know, we have a consultation and a trial session, you know, and so we can kind of see and have a better understanding, you know, of what fitness level the person is at that moment, you know, and then we can build a training program specifically for that person, you know. So, okay. Yeah, that's how it is.
So we're on the first meeting, and when you're thinking about the training program, do you get a feeling if clients are going to achieve their aims at the first meeting? I suppose really the question is whether they're really serious about it or they're just having a bit of a joke.
Well, actually, yeah, I would have to say yes, because obviously that's the reason why we're having that first, you know, trial session and the induction. You can, you know, kind of tell, you know, by the person's attitude, you know, how much they're actually willing, you know, how much effort they actually want to put into it, and how much they really need, you know, that transformation, you know, to feel better, or, you know, feel more energetic and, you know, change those lifestyle and habits, you know. So.
And how much pain they're willing to put up with.
Well, you see, that all depends on the trial session, because, you know, we can see of, you know, how much a person can actually push themselves, you know. So I think that's the main reason, you know, why we have the trial session in place there.
So tell me, what have you got planned for me? So I'm not an awful physical specimen, but, you know, I'm not as fit as I could be by a long way. And I'm 56, so I'm not 20 anymore. What have you got planned for me?
So for the next 4 weeks, what we have planned for you, according obviously to your goals for what you mentioned, you know, you want to lose a few pounds, you know, get a bit more toned up and, you know, feel better in general. And, you know, for the next 4 weeks, we have a program planned up for you, which consists of, you know, some weight training and some cardio and some circuit training. So, you know, hopefully in the process, we're going to keep tracking, you know, every week your weights and how you're doing, how the strength is improving, how your overall fitness is improving. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
So am I, actually, funnily enough. So you said we had a demo, a trial. Well, it was about half an hour, maybe a bit longer. And I have to say, it was really good fun. I really enjoyed it. So, you know, it's looking good for the future.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, to be honest, like, what I really liked about yourself, like, I could see even for from the trial session, like, you actually willing, you know, to go that little extra, you know, mile, and actually you like to be, you know, pushed, which is, you know, what I like to see, you know, so you can obviously achieve a better results. Because I think from that kind of personality, that's what we're looking for, you know, that person that is willing, to get out of the comfort zone, basically. And, you know,
well, I'm very happy to do that. Well, let's see how things develop. But it seems to me that one of the hardest and almost the biggest part of the job of being a personal trainer is to try and change people's habits and their approach to exercise. You know, so lots of people can show people how to use a machine and encourage them to lift some weights, that sort of thing. But the real skill gets in people. Is in getting people to change their lifestyle?
That's a good question, Mike. I mean, honestly, we're all human, so we all have, you know, good and bad habits. And, you know, as a personal trainer, when somebody comes to you, you know, and obviously they're being honest with you and they tell you about all the bad habits, you know, they have, and, you know, you don't want to, you know, just say no, you know, you have to drop all those bad habits, because, you know, those bad habits don't come, you know, in a day or two, they build over, you know.
You have to be realistic, don't you?
Exactly. You have to be realistic. So what we tend to do, we kind of try to replace those habits with some good habits. And the way I feel is once the people see the results that, you know, in the process, that those good habits are, you know, helping them to achieve as well, the bad habits tend to naturally go down, if I'm making sense.
No, that makes good sense. All right, so when we first met on the trial, you took some photos of me, right? What's the idea behind that?
Right, so obviously, for the way I see it, it's one of the best ways, you know, to keep track of the progress. So what we're doing here, we take photos in the beginning, then we do a photo again in the next 4 weeks, then 8 weeks, 12 weeks, and etc. Just so we can keep track of the progress, because, you know, when you still see yourself every day and, you know, you don't really keep track, you know, you might feel different, you might, you know, see that there is a change. But when you have those pictures, you know, literally side by side, I think that's where you see, like, oh wow, you know, I really did change, you know. And I think another reason, obviously, as a business, you know, it inspires other people, and our business is growing literally based mostly on our transformation pictures, which, right, I think a great thing. So yeah.
All right. Well, I am hoping very much that I can be one of the transformation pictures that boosts your business. But time will tell, I guess. I mean, we'll see how it goes. All right. So you're a personal trainer. You've been a personal trainer for 7 years, you said, with a significant amount of success. But I want to ask you something a bit more personal, actually, because when we first met, you said that you have Crohn's disease. Okay. So first off, what is that?
Crohn's disease. So it's basically an inflammatory bowel disease that goes all the way through your digestion system and digestion canal. And basically it creates ulcers throughout the digestion. So very similar to colitis. They're very similar symptoms. But whereas colitis has ulcers mainly in the small intestine and the large intestine, with Crohn's, the ulcers can be literally anywhere throughout the digestion system.
Okay.
So obviously it's a lifelong condition, so unfortunately you have to be on medication pretty much for the rest of your life. There are some situations where you can be off it for a little while, but you know, you have to kind of get back on it and off it. And
so it's quite a serious condition. Does it interfere with, you know, your own personal training?
I mean, in general, I think, you know, training itself, it has really helped me with the condition. However, you know, obviously with a busy schedule and, you know, sometimes if you have a flare-up and you're not feeling well, you know, and you can end up at the hospital, you know, so that can mean, you know, a few cancellations or, you know, stuff like that. So it can sometimes, I can't say it does affect in a certain way, but I feel like over a year now, you know, thank God I haven't had any, you know, flare-ups or nothing like that, and it's been fine. And I definitely think it's...
When you say a flare-up and you end up in hospital, you know, what are the symptoms? You know, what happens?
So it's really, you know, big cramps in your stomach and, you know, just unbearable pain, to be honest with you. And it's just, you know, you have to be in the hospital, you know, under morphine sometimes, even just to get the pain down, you know, and then...
And this is... Well, I've done a little bit of research, actually, and based on our discussion last time, this is not really based on lifestyle, is it? You know, this is, you know, you are just lucky with your genes.
Well, yes, actually, because from what I know till this day, there's not really like a cure or something that you can have for Crohn's disease or colitis, you know. So it's unfortunate for some of those people with a specific gene that it happens, and till this day, nobody really knows exactly from what it happens. So it's just one of those where you're not really, you know, sure. I guess you can say, like as you said, it might be unlucky genes or.
An awful lot of people have it. A surprising number of people either have Crohn's or colitis. So do any of your clients, people that you train, have it?
Yeah, I actually had one of my clients who has the same condition, and, you know, it was a bit more serious than mine, actually, you know, because he had an operation in the past. But luckily, he's much better now, you know, and he's back to training, and, you know, he feels better than ever, which is great. But, yeah, you know, I had friends as well, you know, who had colitis, and, you know, I think it's actually nice, you know, to kind of know people like that, you know, and, you know, you can relate to them, you know, and you can have a chat between us, you know, and kind of, you know.
Well, what I was thinking is if you've got clients who, you know, who suffer from these kind of diseases, actually, if their trainer is sympathetic to their needs, because actually they've got the same thing, this could be quite useful for them.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely, you know, because I have it myself, I can definitely relate to them because I know, you know, myself what struggles, you know, they went through and, you know, how painful it can be, you know. But at the same time, you know, like, I want to kind of encourage them and motivate them, you know, like, especially with training, you know, and, you know, watching your diet, you know, and, you know, there's specific foods that you can't eat, you know, and it's different for all of us. But I do believe, you know, like, if... you get on the right track with your diet, you know, and training and everything, I think it can definitely help with your...
And you've been there, you've had to do it, so presumably you can help others as well. I mean, you know, you're not a doctor, but you can be a good guide.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for saying that, Mike, yeah.
All right, well, look, I'm looking forward to the next month. I'm going to check in weekly on the show, let people know how I'm doing, and possibly be showing the after photos at the end to see how it all goes. So I'm looking forward to it, Vlad, I have to say. So thank you for taking me on. Now, if people are listening to this and think, all right, I might be interested in talking to Vlad about a personal trainer or a personal trainer who's sympathetic to Crohn's or colitis, how can people get hold of you? Have you got a website or on Facebook? How do you do it?
Yeah, so the easiest way at the moment that would be is Instagram. That's how, because once they go on my Instagram, they can see, you know, the transformation pictures, and then, you know, they can see my journey with my clients. So I would say that's one of the easiest ways, you know, and they can always direct message me, you know, and we can take it from there. And now you can find me on Instagram at VladPTFitness, and, you know, you can always check out my posts, you know, and see if you like them. And no, don't forget to click the follow button.
Brilliant. Look, Vlad, thank you very much for chatting. We're going to be seeing a lot more of each other over the next month, so I'm looking forward to it. So thank you. Thank you to my guests on this week's show. They were Paul Brennan of NerveGen and personal trainer Vlad Vencevicius. And of course, thank you to you for listening. And there's a special thanks to the show sponsor, AlgoCells, who bring regenerative orthopedic medicine to the UK. See their website, algocells.com, for details. If you or a loved one are in pain, please do have a look.
That was the Relaxed Back UK show with me, Mike Dill. Thank you for listening, and please do join us again next time.